In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
John has been baptizing for some time. Many have come to him. Suddenly, after the baptism of Christ, he is arrested. And Jesus, who has been baptized by John, left Nazareth where he had grown up, left the place that he had been raised and had grown into maturity, and finally gone to be baptized by John. This is a coming of age for the Son of God, the revelation of the Son of God, but also the beginning of his work. After his baptism, it is time for him to confront the enemy. But he doesn't confront the enemy as we would expect. He doesn't confront the enemy in the world. He doesn't begin some kind of action around him in the world, gathering those who are loyal to him, taking up a stand, protesting against the arresting of John the Baptist, all those things that we expect that we would do in the world when the world is not going as it ought to go. Instead, he does something completely different. He turns around and he faces in a different direction. He has been involved in his growing up in the world, but now he turns away from the world. He turns in a different direction and goes into the desert to begin his work. He begins in the desert. He seems to leave the external battlefield behind, exactly that place where we would expect that we ought to take our stand. And those of us who are politically minded as Christians, in the tradition that has come down in the West from the 16th century, we would assume that a political response is exactly what is needed. That we go and show the cross. You know, the army used to go in Vietnam, they would show the flag. They didn't have a mission, they didn't know what they were doing exactly, but they would go and they would show the flag. And they would get a response. And there would be a battle. And there would be a count. All came from showing the flag. Confront the enemy out in the world. That is not what Jesus Christ did. Father John Baer says that Jesus avoids the inevitable confrontation, as we all should, not putting ourselves in external situations of conflict or temptation. The inevitable confrontation. There is a confrontation that needs to come between the Son of God and the world. But it won't be on the world's terms. It will begin within, and begins within Christ. This confrontation that needs to take place in order for the world to be changed cannot be engaged externally by trying to deal with the consequences of the fall on the world's terms. You might even say that the words of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead me not into temptation," actually means, let me not be tempted to avoid internal confrontation, but instead lead me into battle. Let me not be tempted to oppose what is wrong with the world out in the world as though I were a new Christ and Jesus had not done it rightly. And it's left up to us to go and to reform the world outside, even though our Christian faith claims that Jesus Christ came and changed the world. And now it is for us to change within ourselves, because that is the source of the problem from the beginning. And that is the continuing source of the problem. Repentance and inward confrontation is critical. And after his baptism and joining himself to our battle with sin by baptism, identifying himself completely with our human situation, he goes into the desert in order to confront what needs to be confronted within himself, as we too will need to follow his example and confront what needs to be confronted in ourselves. Not out in the world, pretending as though the problem is not in us, because the problem is in us. The gospel message is metanoia. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' message is not the same as John's was. When John said, "Repent, is not the same thing as when Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The English word, repent, expresses a sense of a feeling, an emotion, regret, or remorse for wrongdoing of sin. It does seem you have to start there, because we are emotionally, spiritually, psychologically committed to the world, and we have to repent of that at the point that we are. John's message is like that when he says repent. Repent of your sins and be baptized. But Jesus, what he is leading us into, goes beyond that. Jesus himself has no need for repentance in the same way that the English language limits and legalistically misunderstands metanoia. Metanoia, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus' message is not the same as John's message. The repentance Jesus calls for is not the same as what John called for. It goes beyond it. It is far more. He has made baptism into something dynamic, a matter of orientation and movement, not something that is done to us, but something that enables us to do something. Our baptism is meant to initiate spiritual change and ascent. If it were simply a legal matter, and Jesus Christ was baptized, and all of our sins are washed away when we are baptized like him, then there is nothing for us left to do. There is no life left for us to live. We might as well just wait around, live according to the way of the world, try to avoid sinning in any kind of obvious way, but our salvation is assured because Jesus was baptized. He is perfect. And when he turns around and says, repent, he's not saying anything different than what John said. Don't sin. Look at me. I am perfect. Don't sin. But that's not what he's saying. He is offering himself to us as a passageway into the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and you can enter it by me. Often you hear the words, what would Jesus do? As though we are in the same place and are of the same caliber as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And all we have to do is do the same thing he did. As if he were some kind of pagan hero that we could emulate and be like, if we chose to do it on the basis of our own will and capacity, what would he do? I will do the same. But the question is, what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do that changes everything for us and makes him into an entrance into doing what he does ourselves? That's completely different. After his baptism, Jesus Christ turns and faces in a new direction. That's what metanoia means, to turn and face in a new direction. He did it first. And it's not a matter of repentance on a legalistic basis because there's no sin in him. It's not repentance as we ordinarily understand it. It's turning away from the life in the world that he had lived as a child, and now he has become a man. It is time for him to go and to live as a man and to reveal to us what it means to live as a true human being. Turn your back on the world and enter into the desert of yourself. He turns from the world and he goes into the desert to confront the enemy directly. He doesn't deal indirectly with evil by trying to contradict or confront or change the consequences of the fall in the world, as we generally do. Those confrontations, those contradictions, in the form of Pharisees and Sadducees and others, will come to him and he will deal with them. Largely by either talking over their heads so that those with ears to hear can hear what he says, or by simply avoiding them until the time comes to deal with the problem fully and directly, and that is dealt with at the time of his death on the cross. And that ultimately will be dealt with by us directly and finally at the time of our death. And all of the preparation of the spiritual lives that we are hopefully living right now will prepare us for that final confrontation. When we confront death as something that has already been overcome by us again and again through Christ, by our metanoia, every time we come to the sacrament of repentance, the sacrament of metanoia, again and again we've been confronted and opposed by things that are the opposite of who we are created to be, and we have dealt with them. Not by our strength, but by our falling down in our weakness and getting up again in Christ. And if we have done that for a lifetime, then when the time comes to, as Shakespeare says, shuffle off this mortal coil, we will deal with death as Christ dealt with death on the cross. Death will be overcome because we have been following and living the life in Christ. When he goes into the desert, Jesus now, and for the very first time anyone ever has done, confronts temptation internally and opposes it, giving us the example of how to oppose evil internally and not to blame others and not to blame the world for a condition that can only be dealt with by each one of us within ourselves. The battle is between himself as one of us when he goes into the desert and the devil. After baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the desert to do battle with the devil. The final conflict and confrontation in the external world will come as it does for all of us in the end at the time of our death. And he has already overcome and been victorious by his conquest of death. Father John Baer says that there is a general law of spiritual life. We do not begin with an awareness of our own situation. In the beginning, we don't understand. We can't simply be baptized and then just, as we already understand them, deal with the world according to our understanding, because we don't understand our situation yet. We don't understand the nature of sin. We don't understand the nature of our own sinfulness. We condemn ourselves in a worldly way and deprive ourselves of the strength of Christ. We can't misunderstand our situation and then come to Christ to answer that problem when that problem that we understand at that point is not the real problem. We are still thinking in terms of the way of the world. We are still thinking in terms of the way of pride and my failure. That is not the nature of things. There is an objective reality that we can only deal with within ourselves through Christ. If we take ourselves as the whole point of our own life, we will misdiagnose the problem, Father John says, and we will imagine a Savior in our own image. What would Jesus be if I were him? That's what stands behind the question, what would Jesus do? Putting ourselves on the same level, not being able to see beyond how we understand ourselves in that moment of confusion, in that moment of pride. We can't begin with ourselves and what we think is wrong with us. I am too much this way, and so I do this. I am too little that way, and so I don't do that. That isn't how we begin if we are going to accept the door into change and transformation that Jesus Christ opens to us after his baptism. Instead of beginning with ourselves, we must begin with Christ. We must begin with his call to repent and be reformed. Reformed from within. Not to be reborn and then go out and continue to live the same life we lived before. This rebirth means a reforming according to the likeness of God in ourselves. To change from within our practice, to reform, to live life in a different way is a reformation, but it is a reformation. It's not a matter just of remorse for not having lived as we think people ought to live. The difference between Orthodox and Protestant Christianity is that for us, reformation is within. Reformation is within, not out there. It's not political. It's personal. It has to do for each one of us with dealing with ourselves. That was the first kind of individualism. That is a Christian individualism. The change that we are called to enter into has already been worked and accomplished out there by Christ. What needs to be changed in the world has been changed by Christ. What needs to be changed now is within each one of us. The source, the origin of the fall, is also the source of our salvation, for us to be able to deal with ourselves. That's what Christ made possible. It is only possible, though, if we believe in Him and not in the world. If we believe in the world, then we'll go out into the world and we'll try to improve it. Each one of us according to our own understanding. Is there any wonder that the world is in chaos? The Blessed Theophylact says, "The light has dawned on us." The sun is at the edge of the horizon at the time of Christ's baptism and is going into the desert to make a new way of human beings dealing with evil within themselves, that is, through and within Him. The dawn of this new life, this new Christian life, is upon us, Theophylact is saying. It came for the first time historically when Jesus came out of the desert and He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The light is dawning. The sun is at the edge of the horizon. Theophylact says, "We are not seeking this light, but the ascending light of the Son of God, has appeared to us as if it were pursuing us." We respond generally by coming up with excuses, justifications for not responding to the light, justifications for continuing to live as we had been living, even though the light has dawned and we begin to see the glimmer of understanding that something must change within us. We can't escape the fact that God has created us not to be as we are, not to be changed by the world, to be made the same as everyone else who has been changed to be like the world, but instead to live and to be through Him as He is, which gives us the freedom of our life to live it firsthand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.